This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
What does motion sound like? With Kizikans free shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
And welcome to another episode of Nexium on Trial, a Times Union podcast. I am Times Union Editor-in-Chief Casey Seiler, and I'm happy to be joined once again by Rob Gavin, our criminal justice reporter, who on Wednesday was in a federal courthouse in Brooklyn to hear the sentencing of Nancy Salzman, really the last of the major defendants in the federal prosecution of Nexium. So Rob, for those who might not know and yet are listening to this podcast, give us a capsule bio, if you will, of who Nancy Salzman is, or more specifically, who she was.
Oh, thanks, Casey. It's always been good to be back on. Nancy Salzman was the president of Nexium and its initial conception as Executive Success Programs, known better as ESP. Nancy Salzman was someone who went to nursing school. She's originally, I believe, from New Jersey. And up until the mid-1990s, she's someone who nothing would indicate someone who would end up one day in a federal court. She was a nurse. She had two daughters. She was married to a guy named Michael Salzman. She worked as a nurse in Waterbury, Connecticut. She moves to the Capital Region. She did some work with other groups. And at some point in the late 90s, Nancy Salzman, after her second divorce, she runs into Keith Raniere. Keith Raniere, we all know, is the spiritual leader, the founder with Nancy Salzman of Nexium. They meet, and it becomes the start of this self-help group. Nancy had worked as a nurse, but Nancy really wasn't a licensed therapist. She had more work in what they would call neuro-linguistic programming, almost like hypnosis. Her meeting with Keith, she described yesterday that she saw him as sort of a socially awkward, quirky guy, but she thought he was a gifted genius. That's the term she used. She had said that her mother was in a lot of pain growing up and she wanted to help people cure pain. So she was wanting to go into the field of pain management. And this leads to self-help. And this leads to the start of what we now know as Nexium, which was in an office plaza on New Carter Road in Colony. And it begins with very little fanfare in 1998. And from there it starts, and within a few years it becomes known as Nexium, and ESP was sort of the curriculum underneath it, and it just continues to rapidly expand. When you two met, it was the beginning of, for many people, what would turn into a nightmare.
She really became Keith Raniere's chief lieutenant. He was kind of identified as the visionary. He sort of conferred upon himself the title of Vanguard. Nancy Salzman was given the title of prefect, which kind of gives a sense of kind of the administrative role she played. She also was identified by many of the folks who spoke, the victims who spoke at the sentencing, as kind of Raniere's chief enforcer. If Claire Bronfman, who was sentenced before her, was seen as kind of the chief funder and one of the top true believers Nancy Salzman was identified as kind of the almost the bureaucrat who kind of held the organization together, kind of managed a lot of its internal politics. Is that kind of the case as well?
Definitely. There's many people that believe NXIVM could never have happened without Nancy Salzman, that without Nancy Salzman, Keith Raniere would not have been able to become the Keith Raniere we now know, that she put the administrative face on the organization. When you walked into the office of NXIVM, there were two portraits on the wall, one of Keith Raniere, the other of Nancy Salzman. And she was so dedicated to Raniere and his teachings that she became sort of the corporate face. She was more organized. She's someone who had run a business in the past. Whereas Keith Raniere, when you talk to people who knew him well, was something you don't always hear, but was considered fairly lazy, a guy who slept in, liked to take walks around night, was not particularly organized. Nancy Salzman provided the structure and legitimacy that Keith Raniere did not have. Nancy Salzman was charismatic. She was a good talker. She was considered like the matriarch of the organization, sort of like a motherly figure. And she was very good at delivering that message and bringing people in from all over, bringing people in from all over the globe. And she was the person who was able to provide the professional look, sort of like you said, that administrative face and legitimacy to someone who probably otherwise wouldn't have had it.
You mentioned this kind of role, an almost maternal role. Of course, the sentencing included descriptions of behavior that can only be compared to that of an abusive parent, including kind of overlooking or even enabling the abuse of minors by Keith Raniere. What specifically did Nancy Salzman plead guilty to? Gosh, I guess it's been more than 2 years ago now.
In March 2019, Nancy Salzman pled guilty to one count of racketeering conspiracy. Racketeering is a crime that includes other aspects below it. In her case, it included underlying acts. And those underlying acts were essentially, an obstruction of justice type charge in which she altered a tape that was going to be used in a civil suit involving Rick Ross, who was a cult tracker, cult expert. And she doctored tapes to take out parts of those tapes in which she had made health claims, which other claims were being made that she knew were not true, and then claim that the tapes were legitimate, claim that they were unedited. So that was one of the charges. The other charge was conspiracy to commit identity theft, because Nancy Salzman took part in the names of people who were dubbed quote unquote enemies of NXIVM, which include politicians, federal judges, people who worked at the Times Union in high roles and in not high roles, but had the unfortunate spot of being in a position of considered an enemy by simply covering news, and other journalists and other people like Edgar Bronfman, the father of Claire Bronfman, and Rick Ross, both considered top enemies of Keith Raniere. Their names were in files in Nancy's basement in Half Moon. There was files and there was work done, and NXIVM reached out to try to find companies to get what they thought were their financial records. So her part in those two things, there's an overlapping charge of racketeering, conspiracy. But when judges in federal court sentence people, they can sentence them on a wide variety of conduct that doesn't just include what they pled guilty to. It can also include other information they know. And the judge certainly knows that in this case, Nancy Salzman is a huge part of NXIVM. And I think it's worth noting that she pled guilty to racketeering conspiracy and got 3.5 years in prison. And her daughter, Lauren, had pled guilty to racketeering conspiracy and racketeering, more serious charges, and didn't get any jail time.
All right, Rob, we're just going to take a very quick break and we'll be right back.
If If you're enjoying Nexium on Trial, be sure to check out its sister podcast, The Eagle. I'm Jessica Marshall, host of The Eagle. Each week, we'll take a look inside the newsroom at the Times Union, the Capital Region's oldest and largest newspaper. We'll discuss the week's top stories, and we'll talk to the award-winning reporters who write them. Listen at timesunion.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. You're listening to Nexium on Trial. I'm Casey Seiler, editor of the Times Union, talking with Rob Gavin. We should note that both Nancy Salzman and her daughter, Lauren Salzman, were at different times romantically involved with Keith Raniere. Lauren Salzman, you know, more tragically in the sense that her involvement with Raniere overlapped in the time that the organization was truly spinning out of control. She was, you know, identified as a senior member, Lauren Salzman, that is, of DOS, which was the organization within Nexium that was kind of devoted to sexual exploitation and slavery. Lauren Salzman was probably the, if not one of the star witnesses in the trial of Keith Raniere. Is there any understanding as to whether or not Nancy Salzman cooperated with federal prosecutors over the course of their case?
There was indications from Nancy's side that they mentioned, and from it wasn't ever rebutted, that she provided information, she provided some sort of documents, but it was less than significant. Put it this way, it wasn't significant enough for the feds to mention it in their sentencing memo, which was the first hint that maybe Nancy was going to get some time in prison, was that the feds usually will point out the level of cooperation. Even in the case of Allison Mack, who didn't take the witness stand and we weren't sure exactly what she had done, they pointed it out. They didn't mention anything in the case of Nancy. And maybe there was some wondering of, well, maybe does Lauren's cooperation include, an unofficial help for her mother? Well, I mean, Lauren was in court yesterday. She was actually in front of me in the courtroom, and she was among the family members there for her mother. And she was someone who obviously had given the government huge cooperation. I would say she was the most important witness they had. You could argue that there were a lot of really, really important witnesses, but it was very, very interesting to see how Lauren has gone from being charged, being the witness. Now she's not serving any time, and she was there just as an observer yesterday.
Among the other people who spoke, who gave victim impact statements, were Mark Vicente, who is the filmmaker who was, along with Sarah Edmondson, part of the small group of chief whistleblowers who exposed, you know, DOS. And Vicente, in his statement, said that when he first hooked up with Nexium, that Nancy Salzman was charged with putting him through her sort of process, her therapeutic, whatever it is, and that she later bragged that she had broken him.
Yeah, he gave a really powerful speech by video. He mentioned that it was Nancy told him he had too much pride. She was the CEO of the company. She was assigned to, quote unquote, handle him. And he said, again, he said she took him to task with, quote unquote, venomous rage for putting up a fight against, he said, the far superior knowledge of her great mentor. A little sarcasm there. He had some notable quotes here. He said that Nancy Salzman had a called a Nexium tech, as we know it, like the information, a paint by numbers psychology. And then he noted that she had zero formal training as a psychologist or psychiatrist, but was a master trainer in a neurolinguistic programming. And he said, look, you know, he called it emotional abuse and spiritual rape, pretty strong words, and said that she was able to break him and went around bragging about it, that she'd go around telling people, I broke Mark Vicente. And when he had a chance to speak yesterday, it was like, well, congratulations, you broke me, you turned me into a Boy Scout. But I thought one of the more interesting comments he made is, you know, he talked about how basically, and this was the sentiment of many people who spoke yesterday, that Nancy Salzman was aware that Keith Raniere was a sexual predator and did nothing about it. What Mark Vicente says is, if you had only told me when I first came that your guru was the F word, any woman with a BMI below 18%, I would have run for the hills. This sentiment is shared by many of us who defected. You lied to us about what was really going on. That was a sentiment that was expressed by many people angrily. Toni Natale, who is a former girlfriend of Keith Raniere and had gone to Nancy in the early days for therapy, said that Nancy knew Keith had an attraction to young girls and did nothing about it. Susan Jones, who spoke, talked about how when Nancy recruited Allison Mack, that she knew exactly what was going to happen, that Keith was going to be using her as a sex partner, and that's what he wanted, and that Nancy allowed it to happen. And I thought Susan Jones made some very interesting points, that so many of these people before in their past lives, Claire Bronfman was show jumping horses. Allison Mack was an actress. She didn't mention it, but you look at other people who've had high roles but have now lost those jobs. Kathy Russell, who's still to be sentenced, came from Alaska, and they're all now convicted criminals.
To that point, we're talking, the sentencing occurred, it's been a little bit more than 2 weeks since the resignation of Governor Cuomo. Now, I don't want to overplay this comparison in any way. The governor hasn't been charged with anything criminal, of course. The attorney general's report casts him as credibly having committed various acts of sexual misconduct against employees and other people. The two cases are very, very different, except in as much as exactly the phenomenon that you're talking about of highly accomplished people who became, to a certain extent, enablers to a very powerful man who allegedly, in the case of Cuomo and convictedly in the case of Keith Raniere, did bad things and mistreated women. It's not really a question. It's just, there's just something about the culture of enabling, the culture of secrecy that, once again, very different cases, but that carries over between the two very big news stories. Rob, I really appreciate your taking the time to talk. Thanks for making the trip down to Brooklyn for the sentencing. And, you know, thanks once again for all the deep dives into the court record. I'm Casey Seiler, the editor of the Times Union. I've been talking with Rob Gavin, and you've been listening to another episode of Nexium on Trial.
If you're enjoying this podcast, take advantage of all the Times Union has to offer and support our efforts to bring in you award-winning journalism by becoming a Times Union member today. Go to timesunion.com/subscribe.